We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, I think the sack in football is the most short-sighted stat in existence, and it's because it only looks at a snapshot of a defensive lineman or a rush linebacker's overall play, right? And it also creates a situation where, hypothetically, theoretically, you could have a defensive lineman have a great first 4 weeks, put up 10 sacks in the first 4 weeks of the season, and then dog it the rest of the year. Because no matter what, he still got the 10 sacks for the season, and that's a great year as an NFL defensive end. How do you combat there? Surely there must be a better way to evaluate rush ends, linebackers, defensive ends, defensive tackles. How about offensive linemen? We use the pancake stat a lot, but how do we truly evaluate them? We have Pro Football Focus scores, but do any of us truly understand what that means or how they grade them? Are we just supposed to trust Pro Football Focus blindly? I saw something yesterday that I thought was incredibly innovative, and you've heard me say on this show previously, stats are like bikinis. They show some things, but not all. But I think that applies more to the sack statistic than it does this. I think this looks to me to be a very viable way to assess the efficiency levels of individual players and teams on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. And one of the people behind this new statistic, which is called pass rush win rate, pass block win rate, Seth Walder, covers analytics for ESPN, joins the show right now. Seth, really appreciate you making the time today, man. Thanks so much. How are things?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. You got it, Seth. So, Seth, I think this is really fascinating. Can you explain to my audience here what pass rush win rate and pass block win rate actually is?
Sure. So, in every NFL player's shoulder pads are two chips, okay? And they've had this for a few years now, and those chips track the player's location 10 times per second on every play. So we know exactly where they are, exactly what they're doing in a given moment. And so what my colleague Brian Burke did is he built a model to identify when someone is blocking another player. That's actually pretty easy because if like two players on opposing teams are facing each other right around the line of scrimmage on a pass play, you know that player, you know, the offensive player is blocking the defensive player. We wanted to do exactly what you said. We had the same frustrations you had, you know, that you mentioned just a second ago. And so what we did is we're trying to measure the rate at which an offensive lineman, for example, sustains his blocks. And the key thing is, I think, that one thing is, like, we, you know, there are other stats for pressures, but one issue is that pressures are not all equal because how long the quarterback holds onto the ball is a really big factor in that. So what we wanted to do is sort of set a time marker, right, 2.5 seconds after the snap, and say, if you're an offensive lineman, you sustain your block for 2.5 seconds, okay, you've done your job, all right? If the guy gets by you after that and sacks the quarterback, that's kind of on the QB. So this is, the pass block rate is the rate at which an offensive lineman sustains his block for at least 2.5 seconds.
I find this fascinating. Now, I'm looking at the list here. Here are the top 10 defensive ends or offensive line or outside linebackers in the NFL in terms of winning the battle there, in terms of getting by the offensive lineman, in terms of creating pressure on the quarterback in 2.5 seconds or less. These are the guys that are winning their battle up front. Number one, Khalil Mack, 38%. Number two, Matthew Judon. Number three, Josh Allen, the rookie from Kentucky with the Jaguars. Four, Marcus Davenport. Five, McKinley from the Falcons. Six, Brandon Graham. Seven, Dante Fowler. Eight, T.J. Watt of the Steelers. 9 and 10, Derek Barnett and Arden Key. Khalil Mack has 38% win rate. Arden Key, 27% win rate. I've noticed that some offensive linemen, 100% of the time, are keeping the defensive player from getting by them or holding their block for 2.5 seconds there, Seth. So my question would be this. Why 2.5 seconds? It seems to be like maybe if you do 3 seconds, maybe we have defensive players with better numbers or offensive linemen with numbers less than 100%.
Sure, yeah. So we did 2.5 seconds because it's roughly the average time to pass. It's a little bit, it's in between 2.5 and 3 seconds, but it's often something I think you hear coaches say, you know, sustain, you know, 2.5 seconds. But you're right in that in order to actually do this perfectly, there is a better way we could do this, which would be you look at it as a survival metric and essentially say, how often do you survive 2.5? How often do you survive 2.6? How often do you survive 2.7?
Yeah.
And judge all of those. But that's a lot more complicated. It would produce a number that is not, you know, like easy to understand in 1 second flat. And so we want to just keep it simple, and we think we're doing, we've got a big improvement on sort of just looking at sacks or something like that, just by doing the 2.5 seconds. But I hear you. I mean, I think you could make a case for making it 3 seconds, sure.
I want to bring in the birthday boy with us here right now, Seth, my producer. It's his birthday today, and Lonzo, there you go, buddy.
Thank you.
There you go. So, Lonzo, we're used to evaluating defensive linemen, defensive ends, rush linebackers by the sack statistic. We also look at tackles for loss, which is where a guy like Jadeveon Clowney fares really well. He wanted to be paid like Aaron Donald, but he didn't have the sack production, so the Texans traded him to Seattle because the sack production isn't there. This is a stat to me, when you're thinking about this, are you with me here that this could replace the sack statistic or could be a better measure of effectiveness for defensive end, offensive linemen, offensive tackles? For offensive tackles, for offensive linemen, it looks at the percentage of the time you hold your block on the defensive lineman for 2.5 seconds or longer. That's more important to me than sacks.
Yeah, I'm very interested as a former offensive lineman in the offensive lineman stat because, for one thing, offensive linemen don't get enough love, and it's cool to actually have them enter the statistics part of the game because you hear about, you know, the receivers, the quarterbacks, all this kind of stuff. You don't hear anything about the linemen, so it's cool to get them in there and to get graded.
We get the pancake stat for linemen, which is kind of a fluky, hokey, funny stat. We also get Pro Football Focus grades. We're just supposed
to... By the way, it's only hokey if you've never done it. Trust me, it feels great.
I eat pancakes on the regular on Sunday morning. That's the closest I have to that, Lonzo. But here's what I would say, Seth. So you then do break this up by teams, which I think is really, really fascinating. So I want to make sure I'm understanding this right. The pass rush win rate for a defensive line on a team would mean that this is the percentage of time that one of their rushers gets through the offensive line in 2.5 seconds or less? Just one?
Correct, yes, at least one. Yes.
And what if they rush six? Does that still count?
Well, yes, so it does still count. So one thing that you have to do, I think, if you want to like do some analysis on this, is consider blitz, right? Or, you know, and consider opponent, consider blitz. So, like, for example, you know, you guys are down in Carolina. The Panthers have the worst pass block win rate in the league right now at 30%, which is really bad.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Now, here's the thing. The Panthers have been blitzed a heck of a lot, okay? They've been blitzed, I think, fourth or fifth highest. I just looked it up a second ago. But so you might say, so maybe it's just because they're getting blitzed. And that's the problem. But then actually, I can just split it out and say, well, let's look at the only places where they're not blitzed. And guess what? Carolina's still dead last. So that says to me that there's a pass blocking problem in Carolina, which is a little surprising to me because one guy that was a like superstar for us last year in this metric was Taylor Moten. So Carolina is struggling early on that front.
Yeah, and the addition of Matt Paradis was expected to help them out significantly as well, right? And we're not seeing that right now. Seth, so the teams with the best pass rush. So in what you're saying is there's not a direct correlation to being high on this list and just the teams who blitz the most, right?
What I'm saying is, no, I do think there is a correlation. I do think there is a correlation, but you, what you can do is we can split it out and look at only non-blitzes or set or only four-man rushes. So it's, so you have this sort of like apples to apples, if you want. The number that we throw out there is just all, just, you know, just everything. So I just think when I'm doing sort of analysis on a team, I want to just like look at both angles, look at the overall picture and then blitz or non-blitz only.
I think this is fascinating stuff, man. So the teams that are getting by the offensive line, at least one member of the rush is getting past the offensive line in 2.5 seconds or less. Here are the top 10. Ravens are doing it 64% of the time. Falcons 63%. Eagles 3rd. Bucks 4th. Rams 5th. Bears 6th. Steelers 7th. Saints 8th. Cardinals 9th. Seahawks 10th. Seahawks are getting one rusher through in 2.5 seconds or less 46% of the time. Ravens lead the way at 64% of the time. How about the top 10? How about the top 10 teams in the league in terms of pass block win rate? The teams in terms of their pass blocking, what percentage of the time, what team leads the way in terms of the least percentage of time a rusher is getting through in 2.5 seconds or less? Ready for a surprise? Cleveland Browns, first overall, 74% of the time, one rusher is not getting through in 2.5 seconds or less. Packers, second at 70%. Cowboys, Giants, Colts, Titans, 49ers, Bills, Patriots, and Bears round out the top 10. Seth, were you the brainchild behind this idea? Because this is fascinating stuff to me.
No, I wasn't. You know, we're lucky enough to have Brian Burke, who's one of like the forefathers of football analytics on our team. And he's the one that came up with this concept and actually and executed it. And so, you know, there's we're really lucky that we have him. We work on other stuff like this with the player tracking. I'm just fortunate enough to get to talk about the results and, you know, enjoy looking at them just like you guys.
Seth, great work. I think this should get the level of attention. If this stat that you're working on here gets the level of attention it deserves, I think it could revolutionize the way we evaluate defensive players. I think this is so much more reliable than the sack stat. And when you consider other sports and the nonsense other sports are giving us, for example, baseball with WAR and all of these other odd pitching statistics against the shift, these stats don't matter to the casual fan, but yours do. Sacks, you know, sacks can paint an entirely different picture from reality. A 12-sack player could suck 85% of the time, right? But this stat shows you who's consistently the best at what they do. Khalil Mack is consistently number
Absolutely.
One. Some other guys, Josh Allen. Wow, this rookie is really surprising people. Dante Fowler is getting through in under 2.5 seconds 28% of the time. And then to be able to look at the individual teams, Seth, outstanding work, man. You know, in today's day and age, when you've been doing this for 12 years, not much shocks you. I saw this yesterday. I'm glad I was wearing socks, Seth, because you blew them off.
So that's awfully kind of you to say. We're really pumped about it. We also think it's really huge, and it's just cool what you can do with this new data. And I think one of the things that happens, this is kind of what you're alluding to, is the metrics that we can create off of this, they come in the language of the sport already. So like our next project that we just released is like identifying pass coverages, right? So we can auto-identify when a team's playing cover three versus whether playing, you know, man one or something like that. And that's already just in the fabric of football. So it's just easier to talk about. We all just get smarter about it.
It's fantastic. Seth, I don't know if you have this capability, but if you have a link that has, you know, the 1 through 30 of the teams, pass rush win rate or pass block win rate, if you might be able to send that to me, I would love to see the 1 through 30s here. I'd love to see, like, where the Panthers and Falcons stack up 1 through 30 in pass rush win and pass block win. Is that possible?
Yeah, I'll DM you. We have an, you know, unfortunately, we can't share the whole thing publicly, but, you know, internally we have this stuff, and we also have, you know, we've got all sorts of stuff. I mean, I think, like, we can look at double teams for players, and I find that fascinating. Like, you mentioned Dante Fowler. You know, he's having a lot of success, but he's barely ever getting doubles, right? Which makes sense because he's on the same line as Aaron Donald. But then you have a guy like Marcus Davenport, who's also on that list, and he's actually getting double teamed all the time. So yeah, we've got absolutely. I'll share with you.
Man, that's this is really, really, really amazing stuff. Seth Walder invites you to follow him at Twitter at that name, SethWalder. Seth, would love to have you on again sometime, man. Great work, and thanks for blowing my mind, man. I got that blowing my mind emoji going on in my head right now, man. I'm loving what I'm seeing, brother. Thank you so much.
Just happy you liked it. Anytime.
All right. Seth Walder, ESPN Sports Analytics. Well,
I just want to say one thing that stood out was you mentioned the Giants in there. So we can't – that excuse that Eli Manning had no time, it's not true.
Now, haven't you learned yet, Lonzo?
It's
Giants
not
fans
true.
Will, Giants fans will invent any excuse to
so,
defend
so
the
really,
greatness that is Eli Manning.
I was right. Eli Manning just stinks.
The Giants, 68% of the time, do not allow one rusher through within 2.5 seconds. And he said, you know, we choose 2.5 seconds because the average pass play before ball leaves quarterback's hand is between 2.5 and 3 seconds. So the Browns lead the way. 74% of the time, the Browns don't let one rusher through in 2.5 seconds or less. And you figure that unless you got a rookie quarterback that really struggles with the blitz, most teams are getting blitzed a comparable number of times, right? I mean, it's probably a comparable statistic. So I think these numbers are mind-blowing. And let's throw away the sack statistic, which only gives us a snapshot of a player's performance.
No, let's not throw away the sacks. You still got to leave that in there.
It shouldn't be number one, though. I mean, for defensive ends, defensive linemen, that's number one in importance. You get 10 sacks the first 3 weeks, Lonzo, you suck the rest of the year.
Here's why you can't get rid of it, because it's incentives in certain people's contracts if they get a certain amount of sacks. So you don't want to take people's money away from them.
No, but how about we replace the sack incentive on the contract with the pass rush win rate, where Khalil Mack, his agent, can say to the Bears, my client leads the league in pass rush win rate. 38% of the time, he's getting through in 2.5 seconds or less.
You know, I love this stuff, but it's also getting on the nerdy side.
And, yeah, it is.
And it will cause some people's eyes to glaze over. They'd rather hear about sacks.
I will channel my inner nerd, and this is definitely nerdy, but it's an upgrade. Let me upgrade. It's an upgrade on what we've done in the past, and it's not asking me to do calculus to figure it out. I get it, and I like it. What do you guys think? 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Coming your way next. I always love to share interesting audio with you guys. You're not going to believe the tirade or the outburst that Giants coach Pat Shurmur faced on his weekly radio appearance this week. I'll share it with you next here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy birthday to the birthday boy, Lonzo Reitzel, today. Lonzo's got a pizza tots at Habitat on me coming his way. I haven't had those yet. I'm told they're delicious, and I can't wait to try them. I have the gluten-free buffalo chicken pizza, which was to die for. And I thought, Lonzo, since you had to be back here in the network studios when we were doing that show, and you're hearing me talk about the pizza, it was only fair for your birthday that I should do a little something-something for you as well.
Well, it's a lot of free plugs for them, but I don't mind. You know, I said when they were on that I was going to go there that Saturday, and yeah. I did. And when we do our show on Saturday on our sister station, we always go get food before we do the show. It's like a pre-show, like a pre-game meal. We've went there for the last month.
You've gone for the wow.
Yes, we have.
Wow, that's something else. That is something else. So there's a lot of good places around here for some good food, and I know you like that. So we wanted to hook you up, man. All right, folks. So this is really interesting, and I want to kind of bring you guys behind the curtain here into kind of our world. One of the hardest things when you've moved around as much as I have is figuring out what's acceptable or unacceptable in your new home in terms of what you can say on the air, what you can't say on the air. For example, I've worked at stations where I cannot say the words ass or bitch. Obviously, I can say them here because Lonzo is not pressing the dump button there, right? Obviously,
I wanted to, though.
Obviously, I can get away with that. In certain markets, you can be critical of a team even if they're on your station. And in other markets, you can't. There was a poor host, a poor evening show host that was about 23 years old that just lost his job in a major market because he said the head coach of the team was too rigid. Think about this for a moment. This is a major market. The station carries the football team, okay? And the evening host said that the coach is too rigid. Then in a press conference, he was asking the coach if a player was not participating in practice because he was injured. The coach didn't answer the question. The kid pressed on because he didn't get an answer. And that person is now fired, lost his dream job, because in that market, you're only supposed to say positive things about your broadcast partner.
If we were told that we were too rigid here, it would wind up a liner the next day.
I think so.
I have done that before, trust me.
But see, the beautiful thing is we are broadcast partners with Clemson. We are broadcast partners with Carolina. And here I have freedom to be real. Some markets would be afraid of me because you can't be real in certain markets. You have to, in some stations, you have to blow smoke up your broadcast partner's butt in order to carry that partner on the air, right? But in this particular market, in this particular job, I love it because I have so much freedom. However, not as much freedom as this gentleman has, okay? Because I've never heard anything like this. Mike Francesa is known as the number one local sports radio show host in the country. That doesn't mean he does the best show, but he works for WFAN, which is a station within our Entercom company, okay? And Mike Francesa, whereas I'm not so much a fan of his style of show, what I love is how he comes swinging. I mean, he comes swinging at everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. So WFAN, Mike Francesa's station, is the flagship station of the New York Giants in New York City. And once a week, Pat Shurmur, the head coach, has to do an interview with Mike Francesa on The Fan. Well, at least he did until this week, at which point the Giants said he's not doing this interview anymore. And it's because this is what happened when Pat Shurmur, the Giants coach, went on Mike Francesa's show. So let's open with kind of where this begins to unravel with Mike Francesa pressing Pat Shurmur about the quarterback change from Eli Manning to Daniel Jones.
Are you ready to make the change or are you not ready to make the change?
We're still going through, our moving forward, what we want to do. And I think, I want to be very transparent. I don't feel like I want to be cryptic. I feel like I've done that all along here. And so as we're looking at everything we're doing, we're certainly trying in the short run here, we're trying to go win a football game. And I understand the narratives that you just pointed out. And I really can't control that.
No, everything's about him until you put him on the bench.
Exactly.
Then you're just another bad team. I mean, then nobody
exactly.
cares.
Yeah. Well, and we're trying to make this a good team.
Well, you look like a really bad team through 2 weeks. I mean, I hate to say it, but you look like a terrible team.
So you're not
good at anything. I mean, so you got a really good running back, and you got a good kicker who missed a field goal yesterday. But other than that, you don't look very good at anything. You can't get the ball in the end zone, and you can't stop anybody. That's a hard combination.
Can you pause it?
Well, those
pause
are things right that we got to work on as we move forward.
Pause it. Okay. Is that the end of the clip?
It can be.
Okay, yeah. So let's end that clip right there. So you see, like, that's not normally what a host would say to the coach if that team is your broadcast partner, right? That normally, I already know hosts in certain markets that would get fired for doing what Mike Francesa just did. But he's number one in New York City. He's been number one a long time. So even if you're the Giants and you're the broadcast partner, Mike Francesa has more power than you. And Mike Francesa realizes that he has more power than you. So then Mike Francesa presses Pat Shurmur about defending Eli Manning. But before you hit play, realize Pat Shurmur said in that interview he wasn't trying to be cryptic. A few hours later, they named Daniel Jones the starter. So it was cryptic as hell. It was very, very cryptic. He was making the quarterback change.
I just want to point out how polite Shurmur is during the entire thing.
And
there are other coaches, you know, do that to Ditka. Do that to, I mean, there's a couple coaches out there. Do that to Belichick.
Let's keep it rolling. Here's Mike Francesa pressing Pat Shurmur on defending Eli Manning.
All right, so, but obviously, I always thought, Pat, that the reason Eli would go to the bench, even before maybe the losses, would be the fact that you guys would like to get a guy who has some mobility in the position. That's the one thing Eli doesn't have. And the quarterbacks like him, there aren't many of them left. Tom's one, but Tom Brady's Tom Brady. But other than that, is that an issue, the mobility? Is that something that you're considering, or is that not the reason?
No, I think what you look at is everything in total. And I think, you know, obviously, Eli's been an outstanding player for a very long time. And, you know, we think the world of Eli. We're trying to do everything we can to win a football game. And this weekend against Tampa. And so those are the things that we think about and as we move forward.
But you are considering putting the kid at quarterback? Because otherwise, why would you have left the door open today, which you did?
Yeah, you know what? We're considering everything at every position right now.
All right, well, now you know why you're going to have everybody on the tip of their chair until you decide this, because this is the story. This is the national story, of course, is when you bench the Hall of Fame quarterback or the, you know, whatever you want to call him, whether he makes the Hall of Fame or not, we'll have to wait. But the point is, you know what it's been. It's been 16 years here, and everyone's waited for this. And this has been drawn out like a procession, like a funeral march, as the losses have piled up. If I were Eli, I'd be so sick of this, it would be ridiculous. Because, you know, to go through this and keep losing has got to be awful. I mean, because he's been doing this now for years, this whole thing, and he's not winning any games along the way, which has got to make it tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously something for you to talk with Eli about. The only thing I know about Eli is he comes in every day and does everything in his power to put a good performance on the field. And I've said it over and over and over. That's what I most appreciate about him. Is his effort to stay in the moment, work on what he needs to work on each day, and point it towards Sunday.
I think, Lonzo, I could get away with that questioning at this station. I think I could do that here. I think my bosses would applaud the candor. I really do. And would applaud me going after it. Am I wrong? You know them better than I do.
But here's the thing. You know, I haven't listened to Francesa enough I do know that he's surly. I mean, he's known for being that.
He's fallen asleep on the air before.
Does he? I mean, if you have a rapport with someone who you're interviewing every week, then I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that he has a rapport with Shurmur, and I guess I'm wrong about that.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. Let's keep it going here. Mike Francesa comes right at Pat Shurmur and says, Are you the guy for New York City?
All right, listen, you will always answer the questions, or at least give us what you think's a fair answer. This is a tough question, but I'll ask it anyway. You're 0-2. You're 15-36 as a head coach. Why are you the guy to turn this team around? That's the question the fans are going to want to know. Why are you the guy that can turn this team around?
Well, I think we got it. I think we have the right direction here. I really do, and I feel as though
where is the improvement? Well, where is the improvement, Pat? Though where is it? I don't see it.
Well, you know, I think we just mentioned it earlier. I said we've made some improvements in the offensive line.
But you're 5-for-24 on third down.
I get that, and I'm not going to defend that. But I think what we got to look at, it's been two games.
Right.
I understand. We took over a team that was 3-13.
Yep.
We fought our way through a tough season last year. We all knew that there was changes that had to be made, even this season moving forward. We probably got one of the youngest teams in the league, all just facts. And so what you try to do is win the very next game and then take it from there. And that's what you have to do in this league. There's teams, You know, there's teams that lost games yesterday that people probably thought wouldn't. And there's teams that won games that people probably didn't think would. And so what you do is you just keep going.
And I haven't seen any improvement. Pat, what are you doing? And then Francesa closes with Shermer, a heated exchange about winning.
But here's the one problem. Last year, second half of the year, if your team averaged 30 points a game.
Correct.
Last seven games last year.
Correct.
And if it wasn't for some lousy defense, would have had a bunch of wins in the second half of the year last year. You lost three games in the final seconds.
Correct.
Okay, that was good competitive football. It looks like you guys have gone backwards.
Well, I think in terms of the game yesterday, certainly, the 28-14, at one point it was a one-score game, and really, before halftime, we had two opportunities to score where we got nothing. So it's a little bit closer than what you're saying it was.
But you unloaded some players. You sent Beckham away. You sent other guys, not you, but the team sent Beckham away. It sent away some good players. It sent away some players who got big contracts in other places. So I can understand that it's not as good as the second half team. But what makes you optimistic that it's better?
All I said was I was making a comment about yesterday's football game.
No, I'm just saying I don't. It's not. It's the only place I'd say it's better than last year's team is on the offensive line. It doesn't have the firepower last year's team, and you've sent some people packing on defense. So I don't see where it's better than the second half team last year, which was very competitive.
Well, we're going to find out as we move forward here, Mike. That's all I can tell you.
And as a result of that interview, Pat Shermer is no longer doing his weekly interview with Mike Francesa.
So
right
you're,
call
so
or wrong
okay,
call.
You're okay with it? I just think...
So here's what I think, Lonzo. I do think tough questioning is okay. I think a host must always remember that a guest is a guest in your home, and you should treat a guest as though they are a guest in your home. And, you know, when the guest is not in your home, you can say, I don't like this neighbor to the left. I don't like this neighbor across the street. But when the guest is in your home, you treat them with respect. And I think Mike Francesa lost that a little bit.
See,
and realize you and I work for the same company.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I are treading on thin ice even mentioning this about the number one local host in the country
that works for
Entercom.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
Here's the thing. How he's talking to him is how you and I talk to each other, or how a couple guys in radio stations across the world talk to each other, but he's talking to the head coach that way, and it doesn't seem right.
It certainly seems to lack a modicum of respect, doesn't it? It really does.
Oh, there's no respect there at all.
All right, 5 minutes with Neil Pappas. His lock of the week is coming your way next, right here on Offsides.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan. Let's get right to it. Neil Pappas joins the show. Neil, great to have you back, buddy. We've got 4.5 to 5 minutes for you. The floor is yours.
I tell you what, Mark, that's the longest 7 days ever, man. That's 14 days. That's like excruciating for me not to be able to call the Mark Ryan show.
Oh, man. We missed you, buddy. We missed you.
Lonzo, you're the best producer in sports, so I'm going to try to keep this clean, keep you away from the dump button. I just want to comment on something before I get to the pick. Something I heard last Monday, I believe it was, somebody behind their little telephone screen calling me out, saying that I used to make picks on another show and that I stopped calling the show because I was so terrible. Actually, what happened was the 2 weeks that I was terrible, I got played on the opening of Mr. Well, I ain't going to say his name, Dumbo. Let's just say that, because he wants to be right about everything. And I don't know if it's because Mark Ryan's show is kicking his ass or what it is, but either way, the 3 weeks that I had incredible weeks, for some reason I didn't make the opening. When I called him out on the radio, he got pissed off and told me that's why I'm going to Florida, because my family disowned me. So I just wanted to clarify that and let everybody know the truth. All you have to do, Mark, DB Don Best wrote an article. I'm one of only 25 guys on there. They're not going to write an article about me, because all I do is I'm a 1099 employee for them. They wrote an article about me last year. For 5 years, on my high rollers, I was over 59% with over 2,000 picks. Anybody that can do that, call me. I'll play your games, and I'll win a bunch of money off of you. That's all I'm saying. I don't like to brag. I never brag. My sides suck. I'm the first to say that. My totals, I've been at 4 out of the 5 years, I've been the number one total handicapper in the world, or in the United States, the sites that I'm on. And the only year that I wasn't was last year when my father passed away. I have a pretty good excuse for that. I went cold as ice. So
you did, Neil. Anyway. You're very good at what you do. And we got to hear this pick, buddy. We got about 2.5 minutes.
All right, 2.5 minutes. Let's get straight to it. Give me Oklahoma State plus +6.5. I looked last night. I haven't looked today, Mark, so if you want to look and see what that line is. It was 6.5 yesterday. I think it's probably going to move back to a touchdown. We hear all these things about Tom Herman, and it's true. Going into the LSU game, he was 13-2-1 against the spread.
Wait, Neil. I took the other side of this. Are you sure you don't want to take an over-under here? Are you sure? Because the last thing I want to do is have you not be able to be on the show again for next Friday, and then we don't hear from you till two Fridays from now. I took Texas -6.5. But what's your best pick of the week? Do you really feel Oklahoma State on the road, a non-top 25 team on the road, +6.5 is the best pick you got?
You told me to pick sides, and that's what I'm
going to do. No. I'm telling you to pick your most confident pick. Your most confident pick of the week. Okay.
Give me Louisville and Florida State to go over 61 points. Louisville by themselves is going to get close to this total. They're going to probably hang a 45 spot on Florida State tomorrow. Florida State's defense is pathetic at best. Louisville's offense is getting better each week. Louisville's defense still isn't where it needs to be. There's going to be a ton of points scored in this game. I could seriously see this game close to that total by the end of the third quarter. Last week, my play of the week was the over in the UMass. Who they play? It was Charlotte and UMass. It was, I don't remember the total. It was 60-something and a half.
52-17, it was 69 was the total points.
Well, when I got it, it was 66, 67 and a half, somewhere around that. But anyways, it was a hit. It hit with about 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So they didn't score in the last 12 minutes. But anyways, so let's do it that way. Let's do the total. Florida State and Louisville to go over 61. I have a feeling this total is going to get crushed. I got a feeling there's going to be probably 90 points in this game, as crazy as that sounds. There's going to be big plays each way. Neither team is good on the back end of their defense. Both teams are explosive offensively. We've seen that already. Florida State's obviously young. They have a coach who he can't coach defense for the life of him. Obviously, we already seen that in the first couple of games. And like I say, Louisville's an up-and-coming offense. And
all right. But most importantly, you're more confident in this than OK State +6.5, right?
Well, the reason
I don't want to be responsible for I don't want to be responsible for changing your pick. I just want your most confident prediction.
The most confident prediction is the over in the Louisville
there
game.
You go.
Yes.
There you go. There's my man. Hey, buddy. Hope to hear from you next week during the show. You are, provided we win, and I'm sure we will, Louisville and Florida State over 61. Hey, Neil, appreciate you so much, brother.
Hey, man, no lock of the week, but I will tell you this. You can bank on it, sir. Have a good weekend, Mark.
All right, thank you, buddy. Neil Pappas right here on Offsides ESPN Upstate. Delvin has been hanging patiently. Delvin, what's going on, man? I have about 60 seconds for you.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm picking the Gamecocks 35-27 tomorrow.
35-27. Waiter, I'll have one of what he's having. Why, Delvin? Why?
I think just Ryan Helinski, man. Quarterback play.
Quarterback play, Ryan Helinski, you feel he's got it. You feel he's the guy to save Will Muschamp's job. Because, let's be honest, that's what it's devolved to, right? Will Muschamp needs somebody to save his tenure there. Otherwise, I think next year is his last year in Columbia. Could Ryan Helinski save him, Delvin?
Yes, I think he can.
You think he can. Delvin, great talking with you, buddy. Thanks for giving us a ring. Always appreciate you. Folks, we have got a jam-packed final hour of the show for you today. Let me tell you about it. We've got the top 3 at 3 presented by Moe's Southwest Grill with 12 locations here in the upstate. We've got the play-by-play voice of the Charlotte 49ers, Bobby Rozinski, joining us at 3:20 to tell us why Charlotte could keep the game interesting tomorrow against Clemson. Plus, our wise guys' wisdom picks. Alonzo and I picked the six biggest games of the week and the best thing we heard today, all still to come in the final hour of the number one sports radio show in the state of South Carolina, according to the South Carolina Broadcasters Association. Ladies and gentlemen, you're Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.